Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode, we review IDW's Transformers number 40 in comics. Mike breaks down the coming expansion sets for the Transformers deck-building card game from Renegade Studios. And we add another letter to the feedback pile trying to get Daryl to watch the original Beast Wars cartoon. Today is Friday, March 25th, 2022, and this is episode 278 of Transmissions Alt Mode. Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's making a final stand against insurmountable odds. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
The amazing and awesome producer and editor Mike.
Hello, everybody.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Yo. Let's talk Transformers.
As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you all so much for continuing to help us out and continuing to show us your love. This week, you got the early episode of Empire of Rust, episode 72. That's our Transformers Live Play RPG podcast. You got the bonus episode on our Patreon this week as one of the perks of being a Donatrion. And then next week, this Monday, March 28th, that episode will drop on the free main Empire of Rust feed for everyone to listen. So Empire of Rust, episode 72, Downfall of a Droid. And the team continues their infiltration of the Decepticon base, the abandoned Decepticon base. So will more secrets and revelations be revealed in the past of a certain Decepticon on the team?
Spoiler alert, yes.
All right, so look, check that out at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. Also, if you haven't heard already, Daryl was on the Geekcast Radio Network and the All Things Transformers podcast, giving his origins, the origins of the Cybertronian Beast. Daryl, how did that go?
Well, I think it went great, but the jury's still out. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see how people take it. I had a great time. Mike was a great host, and he asked me some really great questions, I thought. So, you know, he pried some really great memories out of my head. So that was fun. It was a great time. I enjoyed myself, and it was fun answering the questions instead of asking them.
All right. Yeah. So that's TFG1 Mike, the host of the Geekcast Radio Network. So not our Mike, a different Mike.
Still equally snazzy, though.
Yes. And I was interviewed on the Pros The Interface podcast, talking about tech and culture. And it was also kind of a bit of an origins interview for me, but all my non-Transformer stuff and my career in technology. So you can listen to that if you are curious about getting a little bit of my non-Transformers backstory. Feel free.
Jeremy, I think you and I were being left out here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I have been asked to be on TFG1's mic thing. It's just I haven't been able to have time in my schedule to commit to it. But I would like to do that. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that invitation was extended to all of us. So, yeah, we should all get over there and get your slot in. So, Mike, if you're feeling left out, the door is open. So go let them know. And if you've got time in your schedule, set it up.
I don't think it's possible. It'd be too many mics in one room. It'd be Mike talking to Mike on a mic with a mic.
Oh, that's crazy.
I think the universe would implode right there.
All right. Well, let us know if you risk it. We'll keep our hopes up. All right. Well, let's jump into some comics news. So we've got some upcoming covers. We've got the retailer incentive cover for Beast Wars issue number 15, and that's by artist James Marsh. It's a nice close-up of Beast Wars Megatron holding a little destroyed Optimus Primal doll. It's a Maybe it's similar to the rubber ducky he keeps in his Energon bath. And we've also got the retail incentive cover for the Beast Wars 2022 annual. And that's by Lana Suvani is the artist there. And this is interesting. It's Scold and looks like Scold and Rhinox being separated by Megatron's blast. So I don't know. That's interesting implications for that. What that could mean in the annual story. So check those out. Yeah, Beast Wars has been a fun series. So yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it last week. How we're sad to see it wrapping up since IDW is losing the Transformers license. But I think this series had legs. Unfortunately, it's not going to continue after this year.
I mean, we can only hope that whoever gets the license after it can, even if not continuing this, do another Beast Wars series, because there's so much there to be mined.
Yeah. And last bit of news, we do have IDW's Transformers comic solicitations for June of 2022. So this is 3 months out. We've got Beast Wars number 17, The Last Bot Standing number 2. So we already talked about how that series was announced last month. And then we've got Transformers Special. It's just called Transformers Special. And the description is, this is the conclusion of the main IDW Transformers series that started in 2019. So I wonder why it's just called Transformers Special, but okay, I guess that's it. Then we've got some trade paperbacks. So we've got the Transformers Volume 5, which is called Horrors Near and Far, and it collects issues 31 to 36 of the current Transformers series, Wreckers, Tread and Circuits, that whole series, the Transformers Annual 2021, and the Transformers Halloween Special. So all that in one trade paperback. And then we've also got the Beast Wars Volume 2 trade paperback. That's issues 7 through 12. And then the King Grimlock series hardcover. So that collects all 5 issues of King Grimlock in a hardcover book. So all those things coming this June if you are looking to pick those up. All right, let's move on to our comic review.
All right, this week we're talking about Transformers number 40. This is got 3 covers. We have cover A, which is Bumblebee being strangled by what looks like rust worms. This is by Angel Hernandez and Fran Gamboa. Cover B has Optimus's silhouette and a burning rubble against the backdrop of a seemingly peaceful Crystal City. This is by Nick Brokenshire. And the retailer incentive has Optimus and Bumblebee back-to-back ready to fight. This is by Andrew Lee Griffith and Thomas Deere. So, Mike, let's start with you. Which one of the 3 would you pick this week?
I am going to go with the RI cover. But with a bit of a caveat, I like the line work on the design, but I am not a fan of the almost, I hate to say it, but almost lifeless pose. They're kind of just like standing there almost like a pair of like action figures, just kind of like posed. It doesn't really feel dynamic, but I do like the line work and the color more than I do the other two.
Mm. All right. Daryl, how about you?
Well, I am going to go with the cover that I bought, and that one is the RI cover. I was able to secure that cover at my store, and I like it. I think it's probably the best out of the 3, and regardless of the pose that they're in on the cover, I just think it's drawn the best out of the 3.
All right, Charles.
I'm going to agree. The retail incentive cover by Andrew Lee Griffith and Thomas Deere, I think, is the best artwork of these 3. I do actually, I like cover B a little bit too. I mean, just the kind of minimalist art style there. And I do like Optimus Prime posing with the gun and the sword in his hands.
Feels very G2-y, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It is nice seeing Kirby crackle in the Transformers.
Yeah.
Because we don't really get that a lot.
But the retail incentive cover, I think, is just a really nice image. I do agree with Mike that the pose is a little bit rigid, stiff.
Mm.
But I think the line work is really excellent there. And the colors as well.
Yeah, I think I have to make it unanimous. I do I mean, I do really like cover A, but it doesn't really have much to do with the story. It seems like rustworms are in the little blurb for the next issue. So I'm wondering, you know, if there was a mix up or something. But I like the stylized cover B. I like a lot of the ideas there, but it's just the clean line work of the RI is just really good, and the colors are spot on. I do kind of wish that there was some sort of background and it wasn't just some like white void that they were in, or I guess bluish white void. But other than that, I mean, how often do you see Bumblebee and Optimus like just have that many weapons on them? I think that's kind of humorous a little bit because it just, they're not their character, but you know, in the context of the book, it makes sense. All right. Onto the issue. This issue is written by Brian Ruckley. The art is by Anna Malkova. Colors by David Garcia Cruz. Letters by Jake M. Wood. Editor is David Mariette. Assistant editor is Riley Farmer. And supervising editor is Tom Waltz. The title for the issue is A Dust of Crystal. The issue starts, it's the calm before the storm, and Optimus Prime is watching, or Optimus Prime is thinking as he watches the coming Decepticon threat. He's thinking about the choices that everyone has made and how that's the easy part of life, but the real measure of a person is the consequences of those choices and how you deal with them. As he and Ironhide talk about this, Stryka is at the walls of the city, and she orders her Decepticons to break everything until nothing but dust remains. Inside the city's medical facilities, Arcee is recovering from the rescue of Ultra Magnus. She's got a hole in her shoulder, but she still wants to help. Greenlight tries to talk her out of it, and even implores Ratchet to try to help. And while Ratchet does note that she does have a hole in her shoulder, he says it's not too serious. Arcee hugs Greenlight and promises her that it's going to be okay. She's come back before. This time, though, the Decepticons are coming, and her place is out there helping. At the gates, Bumper, Sideswipe, Strongarm, Vibes, and Slapdash are the front line of the defenses. Vibes suggests that they offer a last-minute prayer to the 13, and she remembers the story of the 13's involvement in the creation of Crystal City itself, as the bombardment begins. Further inside the city, Pyromagna reports that everyone that wanted to leave is on their way to Darkmount. Optimus says that those who remain are going to help buy time as they wait for help from a beacon that they've sent. On the outside, Cup is leading the defensive artillery, and he orders it to fire on the incoming Decepticons. It's initially effective, but the blasts reveal their positions to Stormcloud, and he relays it to Stryka. Then Stryka orders her own artillery to fire, and a massive blast rains down over the city. The Autobots fall back, continuing losing ground to the Decepticons. Inside the bunker, Optimus finally has a moment to talk with Bumblebee. He notes that the Decepticons have heavier weaponry than them, and Bumblebee knows that they also have more people. And then he asks if Prime is giving up. Prime isn't, but he's just coming to terms with all the results of his choices. But he wanted to take this moment to apologize to Bumblebee because of where Prime's choices has taken Bumblebee while there was still time for an apology. Bumblebee says that he's already forgiven Optimus for all of that, but he wants to let him know that he's going to fight. Prime accepts this and reminds Bumblebee that they're only fighting for time so that the rest can get to Darkmount. The Decepticons are making a lot of progress. Wingstun and Obsidian are searching for any Optimus or any Autobots that they might have missed when Sidetrack surprises them and blasts Wingstun right in the head. Obsidian is too fast, though, and he slices right through Wingstun's midsection before Cup could save him. Not far away, Sideswipe sees the explosions from Cup's area as his own group is firing on a horde of Decepticons. Windblade spots Bumblebee near this group, and she lands, deciding that the ground might be a safer place for the time being. But as they're talking, the barrier is destroyed, sending all the Autobot defenders flying. Sideswipe slowly gets to his feet, and he grabs an Electro Staff to try to make a last stand, and to give Strongarm and Bumper time to escape. They do make it to the final refuge of the Autobots, but they don't know if Sideswipe was going to make it. However, Bumblebee and Windblade aren't too far behind with Sideswipe's wounded body. The gate is finally closed, and Optimus admits that Cybertron is lost. He just hopes that they fought for enough time to try to save it. Then Ultra Magnus looks up in shock, and he sees something. The help that they've called for has arrived. Stryka and Blitzwing look up and see it too. Blitzwing thinks it might be a meteor, but Stryka sees what it really is. The Titan Lodestar has arrived. So that is Transformers number 40. I enjoyed this. I liked the feeling that, like, right before it, the battle starts, just kind of seeing some of the different groups as they're kind of coming to terms with what they know is about to happen. The pacing of the battle was kind of disjointed, though. It did jump from scene to scene. It wasn't just one, you know, constant battle. But, I mean, I liked a lot of the ideas that were in the different scenes. And I can see they're trying to get the character work done in this while also trying to show some action. But overall, it was enjoyable. I thought the art was really good all the way through. The colors, the line work, I didn't have a single problem with it. So overall, I really did enjoy this. And I'm hoping that, you know, the action just keeps ramping up as we're nearing the end of this. And this was just an overall enjoyable book to me. Mike, what were your thoughts on the book?
I'll actually agree with pretty much everything you said. The art is really good, really spot on. I liked all of it, both the line work and the colors. The story, I really did enjoy that kind of, prep feeling, like right before the battle, kind of like that calm before the storm moment. I thought that was really, really well done. The battle itself, it felt like, you know, it felt like a real battle. I kind of liked that Prime was just kind of like sitting there like on the sidelines there for most of it too. Because like when Prime is fighting, it really feels like last ditch effort kind of thing. And, you know, you know that the Autobots are going to win in that respect. But without him there, it did feel like there was a lot more stakes to it. It felt like there was, you know, like there was consequences to the battle. Because Prime wasn't...
There were characters that died.
Yeah, exactly. It felt like a somewhat realistic war story, which it's like, yeah, and this is exactly how it should be written, exactly how it should be feeling. So in that respect, yeah, I really agree. I know I've been very critical of this of these books over the last couple times I've been on, but this was a pretty solid issue, and I liked it.
Awesome, Daryl. You have also been very critical about this, and you are also one that likes the action. So, what would you think of this book?
Well, this is my kind of fucking book here. Right from like page two, the action starts, and yeah, I'm in it. So I like the art. I thought the art was great. Anna draws a whole whack of Decepticons, and it's not until like the sixth or seventh row back that, you know, it starts to be like nobodies or unidentifiable characters that and that's a lot. So kudos to Anna for really doing a good job on the art. The cityscapes are full, and they just kind of go for, you know, forever. And there's spires and towers and, you know, walls and stuff that really make the city look like it's, you know, a city, you know, filled with, you know, stuff. And that's, you know, I really appreciate the effort, you know, in doing that kind of stuff. So, the artwork is top notch. I'm really happy with the work that Anna did in this. It's great to look at. The action is great. I loved it from Stryka leading the Decepticons into battle and just kind of, you know, targeting all of the, you know, the strongholds and where the, you know, the best places to hit the Autobots. That was great. To seeing Strongarm and Sideswipe paired up as per their, RID 2015 cartoon. And then Bumblebee and Windblade kind of hanging out again as far as, the first season of Cyberverse. I thought, you know what, there's some pairings here that are fairly recognizable or familiar here. So I thought that was kind of either coincidental or, I hope it's on purpose because I definitely noticed it. And if I'm noticing it, then, it's got to be hitting me over the head here. So, to the point where, the one Seeker gets shot through the head, I thought that was fantastic. And then the other guy, the guy that shoots him gets hit or gets sliced up by Obsidian. It's great, you know?
Yeah.
You know, these wars or these battles, they're not, you know, without cost. And that's what I wanted to see. They're great. These are great battles. And, you know, when they made mention of it, the one panel, they're talking about, you know, needing time or hoping that their message got out there to somebody. And then on the one page, it just kind of, the scene, goes out further and you see, you know, all the characters going to Darkmount, and then it goes further out to like, to you see like the curvature of Cybertron, and there's, you know, there's something in the corner of the panel. And I saw that and I think, is that kind of telling that something's coming, you know? And when I saw that, I thought, you know, that's what I was like, is something, you know, in the atmosphere, something coming to the planet? Like what are they waiting on? And right at the end of the book, when the Titan kind of crashed down on the planet, missing the arm and everything, I almost cheered. I was like, yes, here we go. Like now that you know, I don't even know if I would say the playing field has been leveled, but we're in for a good fight here and I'm ready for it. I've been waiting for this book to kind of ramp up and get to some damn good fights. I think we're about to get to one here, and I'm so in. I'm ready for it. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming this is issue 40. I'm assuming issues 41 and 42 are backstory and some kind of, you know, something else that's going to be bullshit that I'm going to have to read through before we get back to the fight. But, damn, I'm so ready for a big fucking war here. Like, let's go.
Yeah. I completely didn't make the connection on that panel you were talking about with the curvature of Cybertron. Mm-hmm. I just went on to the next panel.
Well, I saw it and I thought, okay, is that supposed to be something coming to the planet? Because they're talking about something. They're hoping to reach something. They're not sure. They're just, it's like a one-way message. They're kind of just sending a Hail Mary out there. And then there's something in the corner of this panel. Is that coming? Is it like a satellite? Is that supposed to be there? And then when the Titan crashed or landed on the planet, I thought, okay, it was definitely supposed to be there, and it looks awesome. So yeah, I'm in for this right now. For the next few issues, better not be, you know, fucking backstory and shit. Like, you know, keep us in the story here, keep us in the war, Ruckley.
Right, awesome. Charles, what were your thoughts on the book?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with what everyone has said. I think this was a really well done issue. It's a big start of a ramping up a big, you know, big final war, final battle in the series. And yeah, I really like how the progression we got in this comic is starting off at the relative calm, showing the little stories of the characters. Like, we've seen these characters in previous issues and had their backstory, so this issue kind of cements their character development, like particularly RC and Greenlight, their story, and, you know, just kind of showcasing their kind of love story and how they care for each other. And then the frontline guards, you've got Sideswipe and Strongarm and Bumper. They're a trio that has been featured in stories in previous books. Like they've always been working together because they're kind of all the new recruits that joined up before the war started, and they've kind of gone through this journey together of, you know, getting more and more, becoming more and more veterans as things went on, and getting, you know, getting injured and then getting repaired and getting back in it. So seeing that progression there, and then as they you know, they really fight hard for each other when they're in the battle, because they've you know, they've struggled together. So showing all that progression, showing Bumblebee and Optimus Prime come back together. Bumblebee finally scrubbed the Decepticon symbol off of his chest, so that's cool. And
he hasn't taken the Autobot one yet.
Yeah. him getting reunited with Windblade just briefly as well. So all those little stories. And then on the Decepticon side, like Stryka is very imposing, and her, you know, her speech as kind of a conquering army is really cool too. And I like this. I mean, that is also, like, Optimus Prime and Megatron are the, like, they're political leaders. They shouldn't be at the front lines of these battles. So it makes sense that they, you know, they have a whole army and team of people around them doing things. Like, Megatron is not leading this assault because he's back in the Capitol directing the larger Decepticon, you know, government, and he sent his best general to go and destroy these rebels. And Optimus Prime is, you know, he's the figurehead of the movement, so he's not on the front lines. He's not going to be out there. And really, in this series, Optimus Prime is not really a fighter in general. We still haven't really seen him do any kind of real heroics or anything. He's more the thinker and the leader, not the battle commander. And so, I mean, in that sense, it makes it a little bit more realistic in terms of how these two armies met each other. So,
yeah, I mean, there's kind of similarities on both sides, because you have Ultra Magnus and Pyro Magna to kind of match up with Stryker and Blitzwing.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, the end of the book with the Titan coming back, and, you know, we last saw her in the Transformers Annual last year when she and the Technobots fought the Vigilum. So, they escaped from Bludgeon and who was the other guy there? That ran the facility there. But that's having her come back and be the kind of the save the day at the very end was cool. So yeah,
I'm looking.
Sorry?
Thunderwing.
Thunderwing, right. Yep. That's right. He was running that base there. So so this Titan, I'm looking for some Titan smash in action next issue. So I hope we are not disappointed by that.
The wiki brings up a good point about Lodestar that I didn't even remember from that book. Assuming, you know, they follow the story, the Technobots are on board and they can combine into Computron now.
Oh yeah, that's right. So so maybe that's enough to turn the tide. Just Computron, and then with a Titan, yeah, that's some backup.
Yeah,
but definitely the art. Anna did a great job with the art on this issue. I thought it was really well done from start to finish, and the colors are really. Who did the colors on this? This was
David Garcia Cruz.
Yeah, the colors are really nice, and yeah, this whole issue was I think great from start to finish.
Awesome. Well, I mean, hopefully this keeps up the great work it's been the last couple issues. We will see you next time. So that is our comic review.
All right, and let's move on to Transformers Media News.
In gaming news, we got two items for the Transformers deck building game. The first is actually something that I haven't seen announced anywhere else. I haven't seen it announced on any of the major news sites, but Renegade Games has announced an expansion to the existing Transformers deck building game, and this is called Infiltration Protocol. It's a 52 card expansion that will require the base game to play. And it adds a couple of new gameplay options. An infiltration protocol, a 6-stage plan to destabilize and conquer new worlds. It also introduces a couple of other game modes where it's a one versus many kind of gameplay, where one person's taking control of the deck versus another team of players, all against them, and team versus team game modes. So that's actually kind of interesting. And the second bit of news is the announcement of the new or a second new standalone expansion called Arising Darkness. Unlike the first one, this is a standalone expansion, which means you don't need the original game to play. This will effectively be a brand new game. It just introduces a brand new set of cards to it. Rising Darkness is going to be Decepticon focused, and will have most many of the same game modes that the original game came with, and is about 150 to 160 cards or so. And yeah, so you can play as Decepticons on there. Now you can mix and match these as well. So you can, take the, both of the standalone games and the expansion, mix them all together for just one giant deck that you can work through. Or you can keep them separate, and have them as completely separate, games. Let's see here. The expansion, the Infiltration Protocol expansion, is on pre-order right now for $30 on Renegade Games, RenegadeGameStudios.com, and will come with an additional promo pack if you pre-order before they run out of promo packs. Yeah, they had some issues with the promo packs for the base game the first time through. So if you are interested in getting the extra stuff, I'd recommend pre-ordering sooner rather than later. And it is scheduled to be released in quarter two of this year. So sometime April, May, or June. And the other expansion there, the Rising Darkness standalone expansion, is scheduled for, it says scheduled for a Q2 release, but I don't think that is Q2 of this year. In fact, I'm pretty certain I saw that it's scheduled for November of this year. But that is what the article is saying. So either by June at the latest, or more likely November, considering that it was just announced a couple days ago. So, yeah. I have had the chance to play the deck building game. It is an interesting game, certainly. It is very, very different than the TCG that they canceled about a year or two ago. One of the advantages is that once you purchase the game, you don't need to buy more stuff to it. You don't need to keep on buying packs of cards in order to form your decks. The base game here comes with all you need. So if you purchased the original base game, then that's fine. If you purchase Rising Darkness, that's fine as well. You can play the full game with either of those two. But don't forget that the Infiltration Protocol will need one of these base games in order to play. Let me throw it to you, Jeremy. You have any interest, or have you played the card game at all?
I have not. I would like to. I just don't have time. Don't have a person to play with around here that's interested. But I do like. I'm really impressed with what I've seen from this. And one thing I noticed, I like how the Rising Darkness artwork on the front mirrors the original set's artwork, just opposite direction, and Decepticons with Optimus in the back. I noticed that on this. So I'm hoping that maybe at like a convention, I'll be able to play. I just don't have anyone to play with here.
Understood. How about you, Daryl? Do you even play card games anymore?
No. I'm. this isn't my scene anymore. So this is something's for somebody else.
And Charles, how about you? You want to get a game going?
It's hard. I mean, I am curious about it, but yeah, it's I don't know. I don't have the time to invest in this. But I would not say no to doing this if we met up at a convention and try it out. I do like that it's all self-contained. Like, you can do everything with just getting one set, and then you don't have to worry about like getting more cards or packs or anything. That's a positive.
Certainly is. Certainly. I don't think I mentioned it, but the Rising Darkness expansion will come with a promo pack as well for the early pre-order folks, and it is going to be $45 for this set. So 30 for the Infiltration Protocol expansion with the promo, and 45 for Rising Darkness with a promo. And that is it for gaming news. Daryl, what else we got for media news?
Well, I got a couple pieces of TV streaming. So Transformers Cyberverse, we got some concept art for Slug from Eric Siebenhaler. And he looks pretty good. Looks like Slug, and Yeah. Siebenaler, Eric Siebenaler has been doing a lot of concept art for a while, and he was just at TFCon LA. So hopefully some people were able to talk to him about doing you know, stuff like that. And we also got some Transformers BotBots promotional clips that are over on YouTube, so you can take a look at that. We've got some featuring a soccer ball bot and a hamburger bot. So hopefully you are getting ready and ramped up for this show. It premieres, what's that?
Today,
25th.
Yes, today. So hopefully you've watched some. And yeah, so there you go. And it's
we'll have our review next week.
Yeah, it's yeah. So take a look at these promotional images, and yeah, they look fun, and the show looks pretty fun too. So yeah, that's it for media news.
All right, let's jump into convention news.
All right, in convention news, we just have one thing here for TFCon Toronto, and it is a voice actor Doug Parker is going to be attending. He was the voice of Pterosaur and Starscream in Beast Wars and Tidal Wave in Transformers Armada. So exciting to see him there. Starscream had like just a very brief role, but Pterosaur essentially was the Starscream of the show. So I don't know if I've seen him at a show at a convention before, but glad he is going to be there. And that is all we got for convention news this week.
And we'll finish up the show with feedback. And we got an email from Brent. This is a long email, so I might paraphrase a little bit. Brent, thanks for sending in your email. He says, "Dear Charles, Daryl, Jeremy, Mike, and of course Apollo, please come back soon." We hope she does. And Dr. Pants, don't forget Dr. Pants. Yeah. He says... Brent says, "Hello, my favorite peeps. I just wanted to share my thoughts on the future of Transformers comics after the IDW license expires this year. Everything said here is just my opinion. The latest I've heard is that no one has officially purchased the TF comic book license after IDW, Skybound Entertainment included. So if this has changed, you can disregard but much of this. But I personally would not want to see Transformers purchased by DC/WB. Transformers would feel very out of place in the DC multiverse. That and DC is literally rebooting their continuity every 5 years or so. It just wouldn't be the most stable home for this franchise. I have mixed thoughts about Marvel Disney purchasing Transformers. I think that would open up the door for many cool crossovers, X-Men, Silver Surfer, Thanos, Guardians of the Galaxy, Fantastic Four, etc., etc. And Marvel has a pool of talented writers and artists and writers and editors who I think could do something pretty awesome with the Transformers. Maybe I'm basing this off of nothing more than my distrust for large corporate entities affecting creative control, but I guess my one reservation is what Disney might mandate for Transformers stories. But I guess ultimately I would be okay if Transformers came back home to Marvel. I think the positives would far outweigh any negatives, or could I be wrong? Dark Horse wouldn't be a bad home, in my opinion. I'm familiar with Image Comics, but I'm not overly familiar with Kirkman's sub-company Skybound. I've read almost the entire Walking Dead series, but little else. With not much to go off of, I guess I'd be okay with Skybound purchasing the comic book rights to Transformers. Regardless of whoever ends up landing the Transformers comic book license, I just hope they do something different. Something new, something we haven't seen before. I don't know how the five of you... There's six of us transmissions hosts feel about it, but I'm done with the political intrigue or Megatron's slow ascent from the gladiator pits to overthrowing the Senate, etc., etc., etc. We've seen this done to death. We need a new major story arc, even though I'm almost the same age as Charles and I'm a hardcore G1 fan now and forever. The other guys in the show are about my age too. I wouldn't mind seeing something different. More characters from Beast Wars. How about RID, Armada, animated characters? How about more headmasters, the Japanese G1 version? Or even try to take a storyline from any of those continuities, other continuities, and put a spin on it. We all know there's a plethora of Transformers characters to choose from the mythology, probably around 1,000. I just hope that any future Transformers series gives a spotlight to other characters aside from the big six. Optimus, Megatron, Starscream, Soundwave, Bumblebee, and Grimlock. I'm not saying we shouldn't have any stories about those six at all. I'm just saying that there are many other Transformers characters who can do the heavy lifting for storylines as well. There's also characters that are almost unused and never get any spotlight, like one of my personal favorites, Quick Switch, the estranged son of Six Shot. If they do feature lesser known characters, make the storyline smaller and slower so we get a chance to get to know their personality, and so the stories can grow organically. I applaud the current IDW Continuity 2.0 for trying to give the spotlight to many C and D level deep cut TF characters that I think many of us readers have never heard of. But I think one of the numerous problems with 2.0 is that there's too many of these deep cut characters jammed into storylines, and it becomes very confusing, at least to an old guy like me, as to who's who. You're only as old as you feel. That's my personal comment, not from Brent's letter. There have been many times that I wasn't sure if the character on panel was a Decepticon or Autobot or other. If you could easily keep track of who all these characters are, then my hat's off to you. I struggled. And honestly, there are so many A and B level TF characters like Blaster, Blur, Cup, Ramhorn, etc., etc., that don't get enough recognition that I don't even know if we need to use hundreds of these deep cut bots. Yes, Blaster did not get a lot of spotlight beyond the old Marvel US comics. Yeah, he also has a PS. This is for Daryl's particularly. As I said in my email I sent earlier this month, you can count me as another listener who thinks you should try Beast Wars again. Just try the first season, and then you can either take it or leave it from there. And I will say one thing. I understand that what you're saying about the animation problems. I think, at least for me, one huge problem is the colors. In 2D animation, traditional cartoons, the colors are so much more vibrant and makes it easier to distinguish characters. With the old Beast Wars animation, I thought the colors were kind of washed out and didn't pop so well. So, Daryl, we're not gonna go into it again, but another vote for you to do a Beast Wars rewatch. Oh,
we need to, because I was shouting at the podcast when I heard Daryl's comparison last time. Daryl, you and I need to have some words here. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, we'll save that for the end. First, we'll get into the meat of Brent's email here about what he wants to see for IDW. Brent, I agree with everything you're saying here. I think the funny thing I think is that when IDW 1.0, I think they got to do something very different. Like, they ended the war. They made the peace between Autobots and Decepticons be a lasting peace. Like, that's something we had never seen before in Transformers story in fiction, where you have this status quo where it's just Transformers existing and then trying to rebuild their civilization after the war ended, which I thought was a very interesting way to and then they told lots of stories focusing on lots of different characters out of that. And I do agree with all your, desires to have things not focus on the kind of the major characters, give some side characters the spotlight, pull the spotlight away from Optimus Prime and Megatron. I definitely think that would be great. The one thing I will say is that I don't think the issue is whatever publisher it goes to or creative outfit the comics license goes to. I think the issue is that these are still licensed comics, so they are still beholden to the licensor, which is Hasbro. I think Hasbro is where, you get this. You're going to get the storylines being pulled away because Hasbro mandates something for their toy line. I mean, these are the fact that these are licensed comics basically to support a toy line. That's always going to sometimes throw a wrench in the work, where the story does not take precedence. The desire to sell toys is going to take precedence. And we've seen that already in the previous IDW continuity, where you had Combiner Wars and Titans Return, and those storylines kind of pushed the ongoing series, like the storylines that were running in the ongoing series, out of the way. And we did have, some good things came out of that, but you know, a lot of those stories were weaker because they were kind of mandated from Hasbro as you got to push these particular toys. And I mean, this is going back even to the original comic series in the 80s. I mean, if you talk to Bob Budiansky about why he got burned out on Transformers, he always got, you know, he kept having to push more and more characters into the series where he had good storylines going with interesting characters, but he had to push in more toys. And that burned him out because, you know, he wanted to tell good stories, and he had to keep, shifting storylines to the side to introduce new characters. So I think, unfortunately, that reality is kind of always going to push in on Transformers comic series, and sometimes we'll have to deal with that and hopefully tell good stories despite that reality. But that's always going to be wherever the license lands, that's always going to be an issue. So we still don't know where the comics, if the license is being picked up by anyone else. Yeah, Skybound is the rumor, but nothing has been officially announced yet. So, we're still waiting to see what's going to happen. But
I really feel that whatever they do is going to be, it's going to either be kind of a return to traditional G1 stuff, or it'll start off in line with whatever the current series that they're trying to push is. But I really hope they do something different and start with a relatively unknown character. I mean, kind of like IDW1 did with Slow Burn. So like, start with a character like Scrounge and just build the universe, based on that.
Build the universe around Scrounge.
Exactly. That's what you need to do.
I'll agree. I mean, in the end, like, I am a big G1 fan, but I think some of the biggest successes that came from the franchise happened when Hasbro moved away from the G1 stories. So when they did Beast Wars and they did something completely different, I thought that was hugely successful. When they did the same thing with Animated, I thought that was hugely successful. It revitalized the franchise. And as much as we bag on the Bayverse movies, the same thing happened. You know, it is a fresh look that is not G1, and when you do that, it adds mythos, it adds story, it grows the franchise and it grows the stories that we tell, versus sticking with a very narrow, limited view of what the franchise should be. I love the G1. I love G1. I love G1 characters. I love the G1 like stories, but we can't keep on going back to that well. And we need to be able to create a series that is new, that is different. And even though I know Hasbro would never do this, that doesn't involve Optimus or Megatron or Starscream or like the big six, like you said, that they have these lesser characters or these lesser known characters and build good stories around them.
Yep.
That being said, if you want some more quick switch, go ahead and check out Empire of Rust. He features kind of heavily in there.
Transmissionspodcast.com/rust. Daryl, any thoughts from your side?
I mean, the stories that I want are pretty basic. I want
smashy fights. Smashy.
Yeah, I want punches to the face. In the last few years, I've started reading more independent comics. And when I say independent, I mean stuff from not Marvel or DC. So, IDW I count as just, mostly the Transformers stuff, but I've been reading a lot more Image stuff, a lot more stuff from Boom or Dark Horse, stuff like that. Dynamite, those kind of, publishers. So, frankly, when it comes to the publisher, it almost doesn't matter. Because all of the creative teams, all of the creators are almost hired guns at this point. So it's who can get the best hired gun, to come in and write for the book. So if Skybound gets it, great. If Boom gets it, great. If Marvel gets it, great. because they're just going to hire the writers that can do it best. You know, I don't read a lot of DC, but DC has had a writer. I don't know if he's still on the book or not, but James Tynion IV or whatever the hell his name is, he's been writing Batman for some time now. And I haven't been reading that Batman, but he's been writing a book over at Image. I think it's Image, called Nice House on the Lake. And it's fucking awesome. And, you know, so, you know, they're not beholden to any particular, you know, company. You know, they're all just hired guns. And
that's actually a DC book.
Is it? Nice House on the Lake is?
I think it's a Black Label or something. It's one of their imprints. It's not like mainline DC.
Oh. There are a few other examples that I could give if I had my pull list right here with me, but I don't.
Yeah, he's supposed to be good.
He's very good, yeah. And that's a really cool book, and I've been enjoying it quite a lot. But the so there's a lot of other artists and writers out there that could do a really good job. And the idea that that a certain author or writer has to include so many characters in a story because their toys are coming out, or they need to get these characters included because there's a cartoon coming out or a movie line coming out. That sucks, right? But that's what that's what Transformers does. It's always done that, and we know that, so we have to work with it. And the writers that kind of gets saddled with that know that, so they've done a good job in recent years. But when it comes to the books I want, it's fairly simple. I just want some fights. You know, I want to see Transformers transform, and I want to see them punch each other. That's all I kind of want.
You're a simple man with simple needs.
That's right. And, you know, and if somebody can figure out a way to make Transformers comics worth money, then, you know, you'll make me a very, very happy person. But there's
now you're just talking crazy, Daryl.
No, I'm a nut. But even the comics, even the books that they put out that are, you know, there's only 5,000 or so that of these things that are made, and they're still worthless. It drives me insane that you know, that a Marvel book or something like that will say, oh, there's only 16 or 18,000 of this one produced. Okay, cool. Well, the Transformers comic I bought only made 4,000 of them. Well, that's just a Transformers comic. It's worthless. Like, come on. There's got to be a way that this Transformers comic can, you know, you can figure out a way to make these things worth money. And it don't tell me it's only there's variants or there's covers out there that are worth money. Yeah, that exists everywhere. But, you know, first appearances of characters and stuff like that should count in Transformers comics, and it doesn't. So that's always drove me nuts. But, you know, whoever gets this license will be it'll be interesting, because you know, I want to it'll definitely bring it to the forefront again, at least for a little while.
I do want to bring up one more thing about Brent mentioned, if it goes to DC, you know, like they reboot their universe so often. If it goes to someone like DC or Marvel, it is likely not going to be in the main universe interacting. I mean, DC has had Masters of the Universe. I don't know if they still have it, but they had it for years, and it was just its own thing. They did a crossover comic that was also its own thing, but for the most part, it was just Masters of the Universe all by itself. And I would imagine Transformers, if it goes to either DC or Marvel, they're not going to interact with the main universe of characters, except for one-off standalone crossover stories. Like maybe we would get that Justice League Transformers book that was rumored like years ago. But if it goes to someplace like Image, I mean, even then, I think they're going to be in a universe with G.I. Joe, and that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. I mean, I think Transformers is large enough to have its, you know, to stay within its own universe. I think it would be weird. I mean, Transformers being larger than life is kind of part of their mythos. If you have them in a universe where there's a million different superpowered entities around, Transformers is just becomes another super group, and it diminishes it a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Brent, for sending in your feedback. We had a good discussion. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll look and, you know, we'll keep watching to see what's coming new for Transformers Comics. Now, Mike, did you want to chime in on getting Daryl to get into these right. Beast Wars cartoons?
All right, Daryl, sit down for a second. You compared early 3D cartoons to 60 to 70 year old, or I should say 60 to 70 year old industry 2D animation. You're comparing apples to oranges. If you compare early 3D stuff, so like Toy Story, the Beast Wars reboot, you need to compare that to early 2D animation. And once you do, I think you will sing a completely different tune on this.
It's still 2D animation. So
like Fritz the Cat or whatever, like those really, really old.
I'm talking from the 20s and 30s. I'm talking like stuff because Reboot and Beast Wars was really super, super early in the 3D industry. I mean, the Toy Story was like the first like real 3D movie, like feature length movie. Everything before that was just like shorts, tests, stuff like that. Not even like full on productions. And if I remember right, Beast Wars was 96, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a year after the first full-length movie came out. So you need to compare this to stuff that came out like in the 20s. You need to compare it to like early Betty Boop, early Popeye stuff, early Coco the Clown stuff. Like that's the comparison that you need to make. And if you take a look at like some of like the 1920s animation, you'll find that it is very rough and in a lot of cases borderline unwatchable, at least by today's standards. It's still good to see. For historical sake, and just, well, once you get past the rampant racism, of course, because it was the 1920s. But once you get past that, like seeing it for historical context and seeing like what it actually was back then, that's what you kind of need to compare it to.
So you're saying I should watch Beast Wars because it's shitty.
because it still was written really well.
But that's my entire point. I can't watch it. It could be the best written show in the entire world. I cannot look at it. That's my problem.
Do you think you could watch some like the 1920s like 2D animation?
I've seen stuff like that, but I don't watch it either.
Because it's shitty or
because it's shitty. Yeah.
Well, I suppose you're consistent in that at least, so I can appreciate that.
We need a Beast Wars radio drama that Daryl can just listen to.
And there you he can go.
Appreciate the writing and not have to watch the visuals he doesn't like.
Well, no, he doesn't even listen to Empire of Rust, so why would he listen to that?
Touche. All right. Well, I think we've beat Daryl up enough. We can end this week's episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. So, but yeah, thanks Brent for sending in your email, and keep listening. And thank you to everyone who listens. Again, we'll give a shout out to our Masterpiece Donatrons. Thank you to John 4x11good, Dinobot Maximize, Demon Tech 82, and Curtis Akan. You guys are awesome for continuing to support Transmissions at our highest level on Patreon, and we really appreciate that. And that's it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.